Chapter 27, Fallen Idol. Just moments after Kylie had called Stuart, her phone rang. "Hey, little crime fighter," said Janice. Stuart just called and filled me in. Her tone sounded urgent, even though her words were casual. "We could still have a big problem if there's some virus left. If there is, it's possible that they're still planning to release it tomorrow." "Yes, I know. I was the one who told Stuart." Clutching her phone, Kylie paced into her mother's kitchen for privacy. "Gotcha. Anyways, Stuart wants me to bring Reinstadt in for questioning. Did he happen to mention where he's having Thanksgiving?" "Actually, yes. He told me that he's having a quiet dinner at home with Emil. But who knows anymore if anything he says is true? Look, what can I do?" "Nothing. What would be helpful is if you stay safe at home. Just enjoy your dinner. Are you with your family?" "Yes. You?" Kylie remembered that Janice had lost her father, but realized that she didn't know much else about her. "My parents are gone, so I'm just working today. It's a good day to be busy." "Sorry to hear that. Do you need Reinstadt's address?" "Kylie, this is the FBI. We're all set with that, and I mean it. Stay home and have a good holiday." When they hung up, Kylie rushed into the living room. There was no way that she could now enjoy sitting around eating turkey. After all, she hadn't promised Janice that she'd stay home. She and Misha could go downtown to Reinstadt's apartment in case Janice needed them. But this time, she'd make sure that they would stay out of trouble. "Look, I'm really sorry about this, but unfortunately, Misha and I do have to leave." Misha looked alarmed. Her mother looked stricken, but her father had poured himself a scotch in her absence and was settled into his armchair and appeared to be enjoying his drink.
"These things happen," he said.
Her mother folded her arms.
"But what about dinner? It's Thanksgiving. Aunt Judy, Uncle Pete, and Andrew will be here soon. You haven't seen them in over a year. Can't this wait?"
The volume of her urging increased, appearing to be linked to the noticeable V deepening above her nose.
"What's going on? You can at least tell us."
"Mom, I'm sorry, but no. This is urgent. I promise to tell you later, but we need to go. Can we take just a bite of something for the car? I'll try to come back and catch everyone later."
"If you can wait 2 minutes, I'll throw something together.
I won't let you starve." Allison ran into the kitchen. In the kitchen, Kylie watched Allison slice 2 rolls and load the insides with some turkey parts from a pan on the counter. She speed-wrapped the sandwiches in napkins and handed them to Kylie.
"Here, at least you can at least eat these."
Kylie thanked her and hurried through the hall where Misha stood waiting by the door, holding Kylie's parka. Her mother followed, and her father rushed in to say goodbye. Kylie gave them quick hugs as Misha thanked them. They barreled out the front door and hopped into Misha's Porsche.
"Where are we going?" he asked.
Kylie gave him the address. "It's Reinstadt's apartment."
"What's going on?"
Misha jerked the stick shift into reverse, tore down the driveway, shifted into first, and sped up the street.
"Janice is going to bring him in for questioning. I want to be there."
"Did she invite you to come?"
"Not exactly. I think we can help, though. We'll stay out of the way, but if they need us, we'll be there, right?"
He gave her a worried look with one raised eyebrow.
"If you say so."
Once they were on Route 2, Kylie handed him a sandwich. She took a mouthful of her own. "Bummer about dinner," she said. "This is good. I guess I didn't feel much like eating once I talked to Candace Fox, but now that we're on our way, this is hard to resist, and it is Thanksgiving."
"Yeah, I know what you mean. I was sorry we couldn't stay. Your parents are nice people."
Kylie cocked an eyebrow at him, but Misha stared at the road ahead. She took another bite of her sandwich. Despite her nerves and her shock about Reinstadt, the turkey had awakened her appetite. She was sorry about missing the pies, but much more than regretting the abandoned pies and turkey, she was sorry about Reinstadt's devastating duplicity. How could she ever have believed in him? Kylie took another bite of her sandwich for solace.
"What's your plan?" asked Misha.
"I don't have one yet."
Deep into their thoughts, they were quiet as Misha wound the Porsche past the strip malls on Fresh Pond and past blocks of lovely older homes before turning onto Starrow Drive. With no traffic, the Porsche zoomed along the Charles River, past Harvard and BU to downtown. As he neared the exit, Misha looked over at Kylie.
What exactly did Janice say you should do?
Stay home. She looked out the window. Kylie, this is crazy. Why didn't you listen? We could be sitting down to a nice dinner instead of nosing in where we shouldn't be and maybe getting hurt.
We'll be careful. But I just couldn't sit there eating turkey with my parents while this was happening. I just have to talk to Reinstadt. What if he's arrested and I never get to tell him what I think? Besides, I think I can help.
But no offense, but do you really think Reinstadt cares what you think?
And how are you going to help anyway? You have no plan. We don't know what we're dealing with. His voice softened. Wasn't Lily bad enough?
He reached over and touched to the bandage on her cheek.
We had to do that. There was no choice, at least for me. Same thing now. I have to see this through, said Kylie as they neared Reinstadt Street.
You're not trained to do this, and I'm not much better. True, I've got a gun, but I don't want to use it. And we're interfering with Janice. This is a seriously bad idea. You can still change your mind. I think we should go back.
Maybe. Look, there's a parking space. Kylie pointed to the miraculous open spot, just visible from around the corner. Misha swerved over and backed in.
See? This is a good omen, she said.
I guess. He opened the glove compartment and slipped his gun into his pocket of his leather jacket.
Misha, please don't be offended, but I think I should go up there alone. I'm the one he had a connection with. I think it would be harder if you're there.
I understand, but this could be dangerous. I should come.
No, please stay in the car. I'll just be a few minutes. Janice will be there, and it will be fine.
He shrugged and patted his pocket.
I don't like it, but I'll be here waiting. If it takes too long, I'll come up.
There was no going back. She needed to hear the truth from Reinstadt.
Determined, Kylie marched past some small jewelry shops and restaurants before rounding the corner to Reinstadt's building. She entered the lobby and waved at the concierge, who she recognized from her stay at Bill's apartment. She put on her best smile.
Happy Thanksgiving, she said gaily.
I'm here for dinner at Bill Reinstadt's.
Kylie was glad that she was dressed up enough to pass as a probable guest.
He nodded in recognition.
Go on up. Have a nice Thanksgiving.
She rode the elevator to Reinstadt's floor. Kylie knocked with a sweaty hand. She still had no idea what she was going to say.
When no one answered at first, she put her ear to the door to listen. Everything seemed to be quiet inside. If Janice were there, she would have heard some sort of conversation through the door. She knocked again, more loudly. After a few more minutes, Reinstadt opened the door. He looked like a very different person, slouching in his faded black T-shirt and jeans. His eyes widened.
Kylie, what a nice surprise, and you're all dressed up. What can I do for you?
I never picked up my backpack, and I was in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd grab it. Can I run into the guest room to get it?
I already left it with the concierge for you.
Oh, I'm sorry to bother you. I'll get it on the way out. But since I'm here, can I talk to you about a couple things? Would it be okay if I came inside for a minute? I know it's Thanksgiving. It won't take long.
She struggled to erase any signs of her contempt for him that might appear on her face.
I guess if it's just a minute, we're in the middle of preparations.
He stepped aside, allowing Kylie inside the hallway. Kylie expected him to lead her into the living room, but Reinstadt's feet in black sneakers appeared rooted in the hall. Kylie was surprised that no Thanksgiving aromas were wafting from the kitchen. Instead, it smelt of cigarette smoke. She wondered what preparations he was making.
Reinstadt angled his head towards the living room and yelled,
"It's Kylie. I'll be right there."
"Hi, Kylie. Sorry, but we're not really up for company at the moment," a man yelled from the back in the apartment. Kylie assumed that it was Emil.
"So what's up?"
Reinstadt asked as he crossed his arms. He seemed distracted, and his left eye twitched.
Kylie's best hope was that this was all a misunderstanding. Perhaps Candace Fox was setting him up for some reason, but his nervousness fueled her anxiety.
"I'm pretty concerned about something and thought maybe you could clarify some things."
"I'm listening."
He leaned against the wall. His normally well-kempt hair fell over his forehead and looked like it needed washing. All he needed was a toothpick hanging out of his mouth to complete his edgy James Dean look. Kylie spoke softly. Earlier today, I had a call from Jerry Fox's widow. She told me all about your meetings with Fox in New York. I thought you didn't know him. You told me you had met him at a fundraiser. Why would you lie about him? What were those meetings about? He held up his hand like a traffic cop to stop her flow of words.
Whoa, just a minute here. You're a nice kid, Kylie, but you have a real knack for sticking your nose into other people's business. Do you really think this concerns you? You've got a real problem with boundaries.
Actually, I have a problem with wanting to know the truth. If there's more of the virus out there, and if you're involved, I want to know.
You're jumping to conclusions. I think your playing at being a detective has gone to your head.
Well, maybe you should answer my questions, said Kylie. There was another knock at the door. Reinstadt shook his head in disbelief.
Excuse me, he said, slipping around her to answer it.
It was Janice with a male agent, both dressed in street clothes. Janice rolled her eyes and frowned when she saw Kylie. FBI, she said, flashing her card. Hi, Mr. Reinstadt. May we come in and ask you some questions? We have a search warrant. Janice showed him the paper.
No problem. Seems like we're having a party.
What would you like to know? His voice had become magnanimous as the Reinstadt Kylie had known.
More company?
Emil's irritated voice boomed from inside the apartment.
Yes,
Reinstadt answered and then turned to Janice. Please come in. He led the group into the living room where Emil sat on the couch smoking a cigarette. Kylie glanced over at the kitchen, but there was no sign of any Thanksgiving dinner preparations. It still looked as neat as if it were staged for a photo shoot. Reinstadt introduced Emil, who didn't look very happy for the company. He snubbed out his cigarette into an overflowing marble ashtray and nodded hello.
Excuse me for 1 minute, please, said Reinstadt as he headed down the hall towards the bedrooms.
Janice started to follow him, but Emil reached under one of the decorator pillows and produced a gun. He jumped up and pointed it at them.
Don't go after him. Listen, I'm really sorry, but I need to leave. Please don't try to stop me.
He sidestepped towards the front hall, his gun aimed at the group.
Stop right there!
Janice reached for her gun. In a quick pivot, Emil turned around and grabbed Kylie around the waist. His bony hand dug into her ribs so hard that she felt the clamp-like grip through her coat. He held his gun to her ear.
I hope you folks don't mind, but my friend Kylie and I are leaving. If you stand in our way, I will shoot her. Now step aside and let us through. If you even think about following us, she's dead.
Emil's tone was polite, as if he was excusing himself to squeeze in a row of theater seats. Kylie was afraid to move. Reinstadt emerged from the back hallway, carrying a paper cup. He narrowed his eyes at Emil, who returned his look, giving Bill a slow nod. Reinstadt unceremoniously swallowed its contents, crumpled the cup, and threw it on the floor. Kylie glanced at Reinstadt to see if he would help her, but Reinstadt's eyes were on his shoes. His face looked as stricken and as much in shock as she felt. Emil led her towards the door. Kylie's heart pounded. She couldn't remember one karate move in her limited repertoire that would help. All she had to do was squirm, and Emil might shoot her.
Stay here, and don't even think about coming after us if you want to see Kylie again, he told Janice.
Emil tightened his vise on her ribs and forced Kylie out the door. He marched her down the hallway to the elevator, all the while keeping a close watch on his apartment. He pushed the down button. Within a minute, the door opened. He shoved her in and pressed a button. Poor little Kylie, he said mockingly. You're always getting yourself into trouble, aren't you?
You won't get away with this. Janice will catch you, Kylie told him once their elevator was heading down.
Maybe so, but if anything happens to me, you're going to die too.
You know the concierge just might notice that you've got a hostage. He'll call for help. By the way, Candace Fox told me that you and Bill were involved with Fox. I can only assume this was about the virus. Why would you do this? Why kill random people?
Kylie winced as Emil dug the tip of the barrel of the gun into her head behind her ear.
Maybe you should shut up, or I'll kill you now in this elevator.
But since you asked, you should have a little imagination. Don't be so naive.
You live in your safe little MBA world, and all you know is what you know. Just think about the power that comes with possessing a virus like this. With power comes money. Put that in your Harvard business plan. Kylie's turkey sandwich was threatening a reemergence. The elevator doors opened into the parking garage. Walk quietly with me out the door and don't make a fuss, said Emil.
Kylie gritted her teeth as he led her out a door that leads to the street. She had been counting on the concierge helping her, but that wasn't an option, since Emil had bypassed the lobby. The street was strangely empty. Where was everyone? Emil pushed her out the front door in front of him, as if she was a human shield. Where are you taking me?
Don't worry, you're not going far. Emil pulled her into a nearby alley, close to where Misha was sitting in a parked car. She prayed that Misha saw them. Emil still had her in his grip, but was facing her now.
Why did you get Reinstadt involved in this? You ruined his career, you know, she yelled.
Emil laughed to Kylie. He sounded marginally hysterical.
What career? He owed everything he was to me. I invented Bill Reinstadt. Just the way I invented Emily Wickland.
Who are you, anyway? She asked.
Let's just say that I'm a businessman. I'm here because one always has to be creative about funding to grow a business into new markets. As an entrepreneur, you can appreciate that, right?
Kylie nodded. Within limits.
We had a nice little plan. Fox would get the product made. I'd help sell it. Reinstadt would get elected on its funds and wield its power.
I see. Your ticket to world domination. Too bad it didn't work.
Don't be so sure. He dug the gun deeper into her head.
Kylie shut her eyes. She had no choice. Without too much trouble, she leaned her head towards him and heaved a yellow liquid version of what had been her turkey sandwich onto his shirt.
Emil pulled his hand up from her ribs to cover his face in horror.
You stupid girl! He yelled.
Kylie snapped a punch under his jaw. As the blow connected, a loud "Huh!" came from deep inside of her, releasing all of her anger at Reinstadt and her fear. Emil reeled from the shock. As he stepped backward, Kylie had just enough room to knee him in the groin. He cried out in pain and doubled over. With another loud rush of air, she expelled an even louder ki and kicked the gun from his hand. She quickly pivoted and dove for it when it landed just a few feet away. She pointed it up at him. "Don't move," she screamed. Kylie had no idea how to use a gun, but hoped that all she had to do was pull the trigger.
Emil straightened up, panting. "You're quite the little street fighter. I could use you in my business. Why don't you put the gun down and just come with me? We'd make a good team."
"You're joking, right? No thanks. I don't think you're going anywhere except maybe to jail."
"She's got that right," yelled Misha, running into the alley, pointing his gun at Emil for extra cover for Kylie. "Don't move."
A moment later, Janice ran in. "I can take it from here." She cuffed Emil.
"Thank goodness you were so loud, Kylie. It helped us find you."
Kylie still aimed the gun steady upon Emil as Misha slipped his gun into his pocket.
"I think Interpol will be pleased to have you home," Janice told Emil.
"First, though, you need to tell us where we can find the rest of the virus."
"I have no idea what you're talking about." Emil's light blue eyes danced with contempt.
"We'll see about that. You could tell us now, or we can find out later. It'll be harder on you if you want to play it that way."
Emil shrugged his shoulders, his cuffed wrists rising up his back.
"You okay?" Misha asked Kylie. "You can drop the gun now, by the way."
"Oh, yeah. I threw up all over Emil, but I feel much better now," she grinned.
Janice held out her hand to Kylie. "Give me that gun before you get into even more trouble."
Kylie obliged and followed Janice as she walked Emil to her car and guided him into the back seat. She turned towards Kylie and Misha. "The other agent's still upstairs with Reinstadt. I called for backup, and they'll be bringing him in."
"Can I talk to Reinstadt?" Kylie asked Janice. She wanted to tell him what she thought. Reinstadt was a total sham. How could she have been so duped?
"Not if the virus is up there. I don't know if I'll be able to let you talk to him down at the bureau right after we bring him in.
But at some point, you can visit."
"Why don't you two go home for now, and I'll keep you informed?"
Kylie and Misha exchanged a look.
We still could catch dinner, said Misha, hopefully.
Kylie was crestfallen. Look, I'll be working at the Bureau soon, she protested. If it weren't for me, the Lily virus would have never been discovered. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people could have died. I'm not officially working for the FBI yet, but I've certainly helped solve this crime. Don't you think I've earned some membership into the inner circle here?
I know, Kylie, and I'm sorry. I'll call you when I find out anything that I can share with you. You're not working there yet. No offense, but God knows you've already stuck your nose in way too much.
Okay, okay, Kylie conceded. Come on, said Misha. He took her arm and led her around the block to his car. Kylie reluctantly got in. Feeling shaky, Kylie settled into her seat and stared out the window as Misha headed back towards Lexington. She didn't understand how Reinstadt, her idol, could be involved with this. He was unworthy of all that she'd bestowed on him. If he had gotten elected, it would be a disaster. Didn't she deserve some credit? But she was too disheartened and battle-weary to fight this final exclusion. Tears began to roll down her cheeks.
I know how tough this is for you, said Misha.
Yes, the whole reason I wanted to produce OMG in the first place is so that I would know who to trust. It's so ironic that the one person I trusted the most was just some manufactured persona. I have no idea who he really is.
Yeah, it always takes time to know if you can really trust anyone. But I just wanted to say that you can trust me. I'm an open book. I've never lied to you, and I never will.
Kylie gave him an appreciative look and fell quiet. She was jarred from her thoughts when her phone rang. It was Janice. At first, Kylie could hardly grasp the meaning of Janice's torrent of words.
They found the virus in the guest bathroom in Reinstadt's apartment. There was a vial in a cooler that was just sitting there open. Evidently, Reinstadt took a dose while we were there. While they were taking him in, he started looking ghoulish. He had sprouted red blotches of rash all over his face and arms, and then it exploded into tiny blisters before they got to the Bureau. They took him to Mass General instead, but he was dead by the time they got there.
Oh, my God, said Kylie, sickened with grief and disbelief. We were standing right next to him. Plus, I used that bathroom when I stayed there. I was probably just a foot away from it.
I know. I had just questioned Steve Hahn about it. Evidently, if you don't have it by now, you're not going to get it. You have to ingest it or touch it, and the symptoms start within minutes. You'll be okay.
My God, I can't believe it. Did you find out why he did it?
Yes. He talked before the worst symptoms kicked in. He seemed eager to tell his story, actually. The poor guy must have been holding it in for years. It seems that Emil met him while he was still in high school and became his sugar daddy. Put him through college and law school, everything. It turns out that Emil ran a gay child porn ring in Europe, but he wanted Reinstadt for himself. He groomed Reinstadt to be everything that he finally became. It was Emil who convinced him to use the virus to fund his campaign.
Thanks, Janice, she said and hung up. Kylie felt the sting of grief and disappointment. Were there no heroes left? She hung her head and sobbed.
What's the matter? Asked Misha.
She told him. He shook his head sadly.
No one that Kylie had been close to had died until Reinstadt. Until today, she'd loved every pearl that he had spoken, every policy he had endorsed. She'd loved the way he looked, his energy, and what she'd thought was his integrity. How could anyone fake all of that? She felt duped. She might have well idolized a fictional character, like a Mr. Darcy or a James Bond. At least if it had been one of them, she'd have known that he wasn't real. The Bill Reinstadt she thought she knew was just an illusion. Now she had no idea who he was. She suspected that he didn't either. Weeping, Kylie looked out the window as Misha drove towards Lexington. Once they turned off Route 2, she dried her eyes. He reached over and held her hand as they drove. Within minutes, they arrived at her parents' house, and Kylie rang the doorbell for the second time that day.
Allison answered the door. You're back! Come in, both of you. We just sat down to eat.
She looked at them closely before herding them into the foyer, where they removed their coats.
You both look like you're coming from a wake.
Pretty much we have, said Kylie.
and she told her what had transpired. Allison opened her arms and held Kylie. "Oh, my God, my poor baby. What a thing to go through. I'm so sorry." Misha examined his feet. Then Allison opened one of her arms and invited Misha into their embrace. Kylie thought perhaps an alien had inhabited her mother's body, but she didn't care. They stood there for a long moment. Kylie realized that OMG had brought her to this juncture. She could never have imagined hugging her mother, never mind twice in one day. She had helped solve a heinous crime and had been offered a job by the FBI. There would be other cases. She didn't care about the money she had lost anymore. She would earn it back over time, and maybe it would be other heroes, real ones. It had been a crazy yet remarkable journey. The corners of Kylie's mouth curled with pleasure. Suddenly it felt as if someone had poured a bucket of butterflies into the room. She was keenly relieved that the case was solved. There would be other cases. Maybe there would even be other heroes. She was thankful to still be alive for her family and her excitement about the future. And she felt grateful for Misha, although she would have to see about that. She took a step back and looked at her mother. "Thanks, Mom. You have no idea how grateful I am to be here." "Me too. Let's go eat some turkey," said Allison.